Amen. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. And I want to take the next few Sundays, as we're coming up on Thanksgiving and on into the Christmas season, and I want to start off by preaching about being thankful, right? And I think it's very important because, you know what, we are bombarded all the time with commercialism, right? And you know what starts happening this year is most people are starting to think, what should I get my husband for Christmas, or what should I get my wife for Christmas, or what should I get these gifts, and what can I afford to give, and if I don't get something grand, are they going to be angry at me, and do I really need to go and run up my debt to get diamonds, and am I a sorry person if I don't get these expensive gifts, and I wish I had some more money so I could get them better gifts, and what am I supposed to do? And you start, you know, people expect you to buy them gifts, and I like to surprise them by not giving them one. Listen, sometimes you have to do the unexpected. One of the best advice I always got, well, our first option is to do nothing, right? And I like to take that option, right? And they expect you to do that, and people, you know, I've had people call me and say, you know, I know Christmas is coming up, and I don't know what you were planning on getting me. I'm thinking, I wasn't even planning on getting you anything. I wasn't even thinking about you. I was thinking about myself. What were you planning on getting me? And they say, you know, I don't want you to waste your money, so I want you to be able to know some of the things that I want. So you would have a better idea of what you could get me in order to please me better. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with this person? But whether that is something that you're going through now or not, or maybe you're not going to be going through these emotions until Christmas Eve, and then it'll be too late, and I don't know what's going on in your head, but I will tell you this, that God doesn't owe us anything, right? And you know, if you're a child, and I hope that you take this to heart, you know the best thing you're parents could get you for Christmas? Nothing. Nothing. And you go to the tree, and where's the gift? There is no gift. And you know why that would be good for you? Because you would grow up without all these expectations of what other people should do for you. Kids that do not expect things on Christmas live a more fulfilled life. And you know what I want to do is I want to raise my children well, and I know you want to raise them well. And you know what every parent wants? They want to have a child that is thankful and appreciative. And if they're not thankful and appreciative with small things, they will not be thankful and appreciative with big things. And so I grew up in a completely different way. You know, my dad, somebody talked to him about an allowance, and I said, Dad, I need an allowance. He said, okay, here's your allowance. I'll allow you to live here, and I'll allow you to cut the grass, and I'll allow you to eat food, and I'll allow you to get punished when you do bad. That is your allowance. That's all you get. What are you talking about an allowance? What kind of allowance do I get as your father? And that was his mentality. I grew up around Amish people, and a lot of that has determined the way that I look at life because of the culture I grew up in. And whether you know it or not, the culture you grow up in as a child is going to determine how you look at life. And you know how the Amish people looked at life? They say, I have three sons. What a blessing. They can start working at 15, and they just start giving me all the money as soon as they start working. And you know what they did is they got all these children, they had like 27 of them, and they would all start them working very soon, very young, And that child did not get to keep a dime of that money until he turned 21. After he turned 21, he could keep his money. You're out on your own. But until then, everything you earn gets given to mom and dad. And I said, that's a blessing. Do you guys like that? I said, wow. No wonder they had so many children. It was an investment that paid off. And then when they got older, they had all these children to take care of them. But that's not the culture we live in today, is it? We live in a culture today that expects things from their parents. They expect things from society. And we have a bunch of Christians that expect a bunch of things from God. And I'm here to tell you this morning that it's not a very healthy way to grow up. And it's not healthy. And you know what your kids need more than an Xbox? They need their parents to have their bills paid. You know what your kids need more than an Xbox? They need their parents to have an emergency fund and have some things in place so they don't have to panic when the tire goes flat. And if we have to sacrifice the Xbox for that, it's a good thing. And we have to teach them what being responsible is. And people can start to force you to want to get all these things. And you can start to get depressed when you don't have the means to get them. That happens. And I want to remind you this morning that God has already given you an over and abundance of anything that you could ever ask or think. Listen, if you live in the United States of America, you are in the top 1% of the world as far as wealth. If you work at McDonald's and flip hamburgers for minimum wage, you are a very privileged person as far as the world standard goes. And even if they never increase minimum wage, God has blessed you. He doesn't owe you anything. And I think that we need to get to the point where we stop always begging God for more. And we stop to thank Him for what He's already given us. See, God is not here to fulfill your needs. God is not here to give to you. I know God does give to you, but that's not the purpose of God. You know what God is here for? He's here for you to worship Him. And the reason He created you was to give to Him and give Him glory and honor and do for Him. And Christians always want God to do for them, but they never want to do for God. And it's backwards. And let me ask you, when is the last time you stop to thank God for blessing the last meal and giving you the last meal? You see, it seems like if we're not careful, we can get in this mode where we're always asking for more. And we're always asking God for more, and we don't stop to thank Him for what He's already done. And I think there's a time where you should stop and say, Lord, thank You for what You've already given. And praise Him for that. And when's the last time you just stopped everything you were doing and just prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, I want to thank You for my wife, if you have one. Listen, if you have a wife, it's a blessing, especially the way you look. Amen? And you look that way and you still got somebody to marry you. That's a blessing. And sometimes you ought to thank the Lord that I have a wife or I have children or that I have a breath and I can breathe and I can walk. Listen, if you can walk in here this morning and you didn't have to come in on a wheelchair, you're blessed. Even if you came in on a wheelchair, you're blessed. We are so blessed, and thank the Lord for your income and a way to provide for yourself and a way to eat. That's a blessing. And whenever your income is threatened and your job is threatened, you understand what a blessing it is to have one. And let me tell you, you might work hard and you might try to advance yourself and stuff like that. But if God, listen, you know that it's the Lord that was good to you that gave you that income. And your salvation, your Bible. Listen, without this Bible, We wouldn't know what to do. We wouldn't know how to talk to God. We'd try to trust other people that are untrustworthy. Thank the Lord for loving me. You know, God never lets me down. He always gives me more than I deserve. And so let's read this psalm here, and then we'll just point out a few things this morning to be thankful for. Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. That sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? For he is good. Say, I've had bad things happen to me. I don't care. God is still good. We've all had bad things happen to us. That doesn't change the fact that God is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought Israel out from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, I think you see a theme with these verses, right? And the way they used to sing this psalm, according to the history books, is the choir leader would get up, Asaph or whoever it was, and he'd sing the first part, and the congregation would sing the second part. So why don't we try that this morning? We're not going to sing, at least I'm not going to. And I'll read the first part, and let's have the congregation answer again the second part. Let's try it here with 16 through 26. To him which led his people through the wilderness, to him which smote great kings, and slew famous kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan, and gave their land for an heritage, even a heritage unto Israel, who remembered us in our low estate, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, who giveth food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven. Lord, we come before you this morning and we're so thankful for your scripture and thankful for this psalm and thank you for your mercy that endureth forever. And we pray for a few minutes this morning we can find a few things to thank you for, Lord. Please fill me with the Holy Spirit of God and help me to preach as a dying man to dying men. Never sure to preach again. Thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning and stand in this pulpit and preach to your great people this great book. Lord, help us to leave here with a thankful heart because your mercy endures forever, Lord. Please help this time to glorify and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. And so he commands you in this psalm to thank him. He starts with it and ends with it. And then in case you forgot, he gives you a reasons to thank him. You know, have you ever sat around at Thanksgiving and you went around the room and said, hey, everybody says one thing they're thankful for. Anybody ever done that? That's a blessing. You sit around, tell me what you're thankful for. And there's always the bonehead that says that we only have to do this once a year, right? But he says, thank you, and he understands that some people don't know what they should thank the Lord for, so he gives you the reasons to thank God. And so what we're going to go over this morning is a few reasons that we can all thank the Lord for, and something we can all be thankful for. And I want you to remind you that this psalm, they say it was written after the exile, after they were taken captive, because he says in that last verse, the Lord, the God of heaven, thanks unto the God of heaven. And usually he's called the God of Israel, right? But if you read Ezra, Nehemiah, and Daniel, and Esther, you're going to see that phrase, the God of heaven, because they were not just in Israel at that time. They were in Babylon, and they were in Syria, and they were captive, and they still had reason to thank God. So I don't care what your position is this morning, you have a reason to thank God. And number one, we can thank him this morning because he is the creator, and he brings forth. He's the creator, he brings forth. In verses 1 through 9, he said this, that verse 4, him alone who doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. And if you're lacking direction, you ought to take a moment and thank the Lord for his creation. We are created by the Lord, and we live in an environment he created. You know, God is not good, is good not only to create us, but create a place where we can live and where we can stay. I don't know if you've ever, you know, in the ministry, we run into a lot of sad situations, you know? And everybody knows people that the parents got together and whether they decided to or it was an accident, they're going to bring forth a child into this world. But you know what so few parents do is they forget that they need to create an environment for this person to live and exist in. Because, listen, a child cannot thrive in an environment where there's fighting and there's sin and there's secondhand smoke and there's not a stable place to stay. A child cannot do well, and he cannot thrive in that kind of environment. So, you know what? That's a sorry thing, and it's a sad thing. And we've all heard the doctors. They say, some babies, I deliver them, and I want to apologize to them as soon as they get here. But you know what is good? Is God is not like that. You know what the Lord does? He created an environment. He planted a garden eastward in Eden before he ever made man. You realize most of the universe, you can't live on Mars. And I don't care how much money you invest in Elon Musk's company, you're not ever going to live on Mars. They'll travel up there and God says, I'll bring him back down. Amen. He'll blow the rocket up. But you're not going to live on Mars. And why would you even want to live there? God created an earth for us to live on, and it has oxygen, and it's not too hot, and it's not too cold. And I, you know, whenever a woman is going to have a child, you know what she does? Hopefully, she gets a nursery ready, right? So she'll get this room and she'll pick some crazy color like pink or blue and then she'll make you go paint it and you paint the room. And then you get a crib and the bedding for the crib and then you get the thing in the top of the crib that goes bling, whatever that is. And you know what they do? They put so much time into this. And in their mind, they think the baby is going to come into this world and look at the environment and look at the walls and look at the thing above his head and look at the blankets in the crib and be like, I have such good parents. I have such good parents. They did all this for me. And you know what the reality is? The baby comes into the world and doesn't care at all. It doesn't care. All it does is yell at you when he gets hungry, yell at you when he uses the restroom on himself, and yell at you when he's tired, and yell at you in the middle of the night and cream and cry. And you're thinking, what about all this stuff I did for you? Do you not care? And they absolutely don't care. And you know why the Lord, before he brought Adam out of the dust, he planted a garden. And he planted a banana tree. I love bananas. You know, I found out you can eat all day for about $2 if all you eat is bananas. And so I got a bunch of bananas and I just eat them all the time. And I think, man, the Lord is so good to create bananas. And so you know what the Lord's thinking is? He says, I'm going to put Adam in this garden. He said, Adam, of every tree that's in the garden, you're going to be able to eat the fruit. Just that one tree, don't eat. You know, God creates all this stuff for His glory. And you know what His thought is that Adam would take that banana and open it up and take a bite of it and say, wow, what a great God I serve. What a blessing. The Lord, He does this and He creates this and what a blessing it is. He planted a garden. He put a place for us to live in. The problem is there are so few people that look at it and thank God for it. It says in Romans 1 that the invisible things that God is clearly understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. The Lord wants you to look up in the sky and say, how did He make it blue? What a great God we serve. All that water floating around in the form of a cloud, what a great God we serve. He wants you to go and I don't know if you've ever flown over the Grand Canyon and you looked down in the Grand Canyon and saw how beautiful it was. Some of you have stood in Switzerland and looked across the snow-capped mountains and you thought, what a wonderful God we serve and what a beautiful place He makes. I remember when I was a little kid, I went to Turkey and we swam in the Mediterranean Ocean and I think, man, this is the most beautiful, clearest water in the world. And I said, it looks so good, I'm going to take a drink. I'm thirsty. I'm tired of always being thirsty in these foreign countries. You can't drink the water unless you get sick. This water is so beautiful, and it has to be good. And it was the saltiest stuff I ever put in my mouth. But I will remember, as long as I have a memory, how beautiful that water was. And I don't know if you've ever put your feet in the Caribbean Ocean or you've seen the sugar white sands or the Florida coast, but I will tell you what, you can stop this morning and pause and thank God for His creation. It's beautiful. And He creates people and creates new souls, and He gave us three boys, and it just, the Lord created them out of nothing, spoke them into existence, and every day He adds to them. You watch a child grow. It's a miracle. It says He made the wisdom, by wisdom He made the heavens. Can this psalm turns history into theology, and it turns theology into worship. And if you do not thank God for His creation, you will descend into immorality, according to the Book of Mormon. It all begins by not being thankful. The problem with your children begins when they're not thankful. The problem with Christians begins when they're not thankful. The first thing you need to teach your kids to do is be thankful. They glorified Him not, neither were they thankful, become vain in their imaginations. If they can't thank you for your oatmeal, they're not going to thank you for their Xbox. And if they're going to take their oatmeal for granted, they're definitely not going to take an Xbox for granted. Because they're not going to get one, praise the Lord. We could talk about this all day, amen, but we'll move right along. Number two, we can thank Him because He's the Redeemer. He brings us out. Look at verse 12, 10. 136 in verse 10. To Him that smote Egypt, their firstborn, for His mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for His mercy endureth forever. You know, He does not talk here about Israel suffering under the hands of Pharaoh or the judgment of their gods, but He focuses on the part where He bring them out, the Exodus. And Exodus is the term that's used by the Jewish people to describe their deliverance when God delivered them from being slaves in Israel. And by the time they crossed the Red Sea, the land of Egypt, with its firstborn sons, its religion, its army, and its power, had all been destroyed by the power of God. And that Exodus, that Passover, that marks the birthday of the nation of Israel. And every year they would have a Passover and they would remember how God set them free through the lamb that was slain for them. And you know what that's a picture of? It's a picture of the spotless Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to set sinners free. And you know what you ought to thank the Lord for this morning? You ought to thank Him for your salvation. He provided a way of salvation through Jesus Christ, His Son. He saved my soul. Praise the Lord. And you know, I'm thankful that He's still saving sinners. You know, when I look around and I see all these lost people, you know what I'm thankful for? That I can see them hanging over the pit of hell and I can hand them a rope and offer some hope. Because Jesus Christ is still in the business of saving sinners. And thank God for His redemption. I'm thankful that He brought me out and He saved my soul. And He saved my wife and He saved my oldest son. And listen, if you don't have anything to thank the Lord for this morning, you ought to be able to thank Him for His redemption and for bringing you out of where He brought you from. You know, I read this book one time called The Memoirs of a Slave Girl, and it was this little girl that got set free as a slave, and she lived in this horrible condition, and one time she broke free and she hid in the attic for a year before she could find passage to the north. And when she got up there, she was so thankful to be free. But you know what she spent the rest of her life doing? Trying to see her family get freed and trying to set them get free. And you know what the best day in her life was? Not just when she got free, but when she saw her family freed. And you know what? It's a blessing. I am so thankful for the Lord's redemption and setting people free. And look, He set Brother Phil free. And He set Michael free and Priscilla free and Brother Roland free. And if you don't understand the significance of that, you ought to look at the families they came from. They're terrible. No. I didn't mean to say that. But you ought to look at the family and the conditions they came from and what a difference the Lord Jesus Christ has made in their life. Listen, if it wasn't for the grace of God, listen, He set me free. And I have a long history that goes all the way back to Ireland of alcohol and adultery and all that kind of stuff. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and He saved my father and He set us free. Thank the Lord for His redemption and setting us free. Can you thank the Lord for setting you free this morning? Oh, thanks unto the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. We can thank Him also because He's the shepherd and He leads us along. Look at verse 13. To Him which divided the Red Sea and departs, for His mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endureth forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His mercy endureth forever. And here's the part I like. To Him which led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endureth forever. And if you think about that, the Lord took more than 1 million people and He led them through a desert place where there wasn't even enough to eat for one man. There wasn't even enough to drink for one man. And He led them by Moses and Joshua. And these people, they didn't know their way through the wilderness. You know, here's one thing that always helps me. If the Lord leads you into something, then He will definitely lead you through it and lead you out. He led them into the wilderness. And when you're in the wilderness in that barren land, it will always be barren, but God will lead you through it. And the people, they didn't know anything of the way. There wasn't a road to walk on. There wasn't a train track to walk along. There wasn't even train tracks. And you know what? They never lost their way because God led them all the way through the wilderness and He took them and He led them by Moses and Aaron and Jethro, and He had a cloud of fire by night and a pillar to lead them through. And their feet didn't swell. For 40 years walking, their feet never swelled. Their clothes didn't wax old. And I think about that. My clothes, if you wash your clothes in hot, hard water, they don't last that long, do they? But for 40 years, they must not have got their clothes at the Gap, I'll tell you what. I don't know where they got their clothes from. But for 40 years, they walked through that wilderness, and those clothes stayed with them for 40 years. Their faithfulness failed, but the Lord's didn't. They gave up on God, but He never gave up on them, because His mercy endureth forever. And thank the Lord for His guiding hand in this world below. Thank the Lord for being our shepherd and leading us along. You know, if you'll just look back on your life and the decisions that you made and some of the things, it seems like it was almost stupidity or it was an accident. And yet you're here where you are today, because it was the Lord's hand that guided you and led you to the very place this morning that you're at. It was the guiding hand of God. And I'm so thankful that I don't have to make my own way in life. I just have to follow the Lord. And if you understand that God's the one leading the way, and you're a man under authority, and you don't have to make your own decisions, you just have to have the courage to follow Him, it'll take a lot of pressure off of you. And I'm so thankful that I have a shepherd that leads me through and leads me along. And I thank the Lord for that this morning. Thank you for your guiding hand. The other thing we can thank Him for this morning is He's a conqueror. He brings us in. Look at verse 17. To Him which smote great kings, for His mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for His mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His mercy endureth forever, and Og, king of Bashan, for His mercy endureth forever. There were 1 million people. And you know what they were? They were slaves. They were brickmakers. They had never been trained in a military academy. None of them had ever been to West Point. None of them had ever been fired a gun. None of them had been trained with a sword. Right? And God took 1 million civilians, and He took them to these famous kings. It says they slew famous kings, and He used them to defeat those kings. Because it wasn't them, it was God. And you know what? I'm thankful the Lord that He's a conqueror. And even though we have enemies in our life, through the Lord Jesus Christ, He can help us overcome. And humanly speaking, looking forward, they seem impossible to overcome. And I don't know what it is you're trying to overcome and what it is you're trying to conquer. But from a human perspective, you think there's no way I can overcome this because I am just a man and I have never had any training in this. But God took that Og, king of Bashan. You know who Og had? 60 cities that were under His control. Og was the remnant of the giants, and he had a bed that was 13 and a half feet long, made out of iron and 6 feet wide. Now, that's a pretty big bed. Your bed is only 6 foot long at best. So it's like twice as long as your bed and then an extra foot and a half. And Og would lay down. These pews are 14 feet long, the ones in the middle. So when Og would lay down, that's how long his bed would have to be. And you know what God did? He used a bunch of civilians to conquer them. And there's people in this room that by the grace of God have overcome anger. They've overcome alcohol. They've overcome drugs. They've overcome jealousy. They've overcome lust. They've overcome covetousness. They've overcome a bad marriage. They've overcome all kinds of terrible things that, humanly speaking, look at them and they said, this problem is going to be the death of me. But thank God that He can use you, an ordinary person, and He can take a Bible and He can put a song in your heart and He can save you and He can help you to overcome these things, and they cannot stop you. Thank the Lord for His provision. Thank Him that He's a conqueror. And it says in verse 21 through 22, and He gave their land for a heritage, for His mercy endureth forever. Listen, He took the land away from these people and gave it to them for a heritage. And who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And he gave it to them, and thank the Lord for all that we have. It was because of the Lord I didn't have to sleep in the street last night. And it was because of the Lord I'm going to eat turkey next week. And we start thanking him. I see no reason to ask him for more because of all the things that he has already given us. And then we can thank him. Look at verse 23. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Last night, my wife and I went to the refrigerator, and we got out a loaf of Jewish rye bread. We got out some real mayonnaise, whatever you call it. And we got a big tomato and sliced the tomato. And we got roast beef and Swiss cheese and pepper jack cheese and salt. Thank the Lord for sodium. And lettuce, and put all that together and made a sandwich. And if you think about the work that goes into that sandwich and what God has to have come about just to eat that sandwich, think about all the times the sun had to come up to grow that tomato. Think about all that had to happen in the soil for that plant to come out and give you that tomato and that lettuce. And that cow that had to die for your pleasure so you could eat it. And the cheese, and I don't even know how all that stuff is made, but the things that the Lord had to bring together just to give you a sandwich is amazing. Thank the Lord for his provision. And this season, please, do not get caught up in all this. I gotta have this. I gotta buy this. I gotta buy this. Listen, if your wife is going to leave you because you didn't give her a Christmas present, then you're in a whole lot worse shape than you really thought we were anyway. And maybe you should just do that as a test to see how strong your marriage really is. Because if that's what it's going to take to destroy it, you don't have much to begin with. And if you're a lady thinking about how angry you're going to get because you don't get the gift you want, shame on you. Amen? You ought to repent. You ought to repent. Serious. What, can't you just thank God for giving you a husband and a family? What in the world? Do not get caught up in what I don't have. But get caught up in what you do have and what the Lord has given you. Because you probably have more than you ever thought you'd have possible anyway, unless you play the lottery. And you know what I like about the Lord is his mercy endureth forever. And it doesn't matter how many times I've messed up. I have never got on my knees and repented and asked the Lord for forgiveness. And the Lord said, nah, I'm done with you. Never. People might be done with me, but God has never been done with me. Never been done with me. And it doesn't matter how many times I've been thinking, thank you, Lord, for this. Now what's next? And what's next? And what's next? And always asking for more and more. When I have stopped and said, Lord, I'm so sorry. You don't have to do anything else. You've already done more than enough. I just want to thank you for what you've done. I have never done that, and God said, I'm done with you. You've been too selfish the whole time. I'm not even going to talk to you anymore. Matter of fact, I'm going to stop giving you oxygen right now and just turn the oxygen off. Oxygen's expensive. You ever had to buy that stuff in bottles? That's expensive, amen? But the Lord gives you as much as you want. And it's all free. Praise the Lord. And so this morning, I want to remind you, why don't you take a moment this morning, and I think we ought to as a church too, instead of asking him for more, just thank Him for what you already have. Can we do that? And can we go forward this season without getting caught up in all the commercialism and all the things that we want and focus on what we have? Can we skip Christmas this year to keep Christ in Christmas? And skip all the things. Listen, if we skipped all the things that didn't have to do with Jesus this Christmas season, some of us wouldn't have much left. Right? But why? You know, the first Thanksgiving, contrary to what they teach you in school, it wasn't to thank the Indians for their corn and turkeys and feathers in their head. You know what it was? To thank the Lord for His provision. And they were supposed to go hear their pastor preach on Yay Meeting House, on Yay Hill, and thank God for His provision and Him getting them through the winter. And this season that we go forward, listen, let's thank the Lord for what we have. All right? Let's have the pianist come forward. And if you'll stand, bow your